Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a glue jungle riser for floor shaking low end in Ableton Live 12, right inside the arrangement area. And the big idea here is simple. We're not making a random whoosh. We're making tension that stays connected to the groove, keeps the sub lane clean, and makes the drop feel massive when it lands. If you produce drum and bass, you already know this matters. Indeed, NB, the build up can't just get louder and brighter forever. If you overdo the width, the noise, or the low end, the drop loses its authority. So today we're going to make a riser that feels like part of the track's engine, not an effect pasted on top. First, choose the arrangement moment before you do anything else. That sounds basic, but it's huge. In drum and bass, a glue riser usually works best in the last 2 to 4 bars before phrase change. So if your drop hits on bar 33, think about starting the riser around bar 29 or 30. If you're moving into a second drop, a switch up, or a halftime breakdown returning to full energy, the same logic applies. Let the riser arrive late, controlled, and musical. Now, instead of starting with pure noise, start with something that already belongs to the track. That could be a chopped amen tail, a rim or snare ghost, a bass stab, a Reese hit with the sub removed, or a metallic texture from your own session. If you don't have a ready-made source, use a stock sample in Simpler. Drop it into Simpler, set it to classic, tighten the envelope, and sequence a short rhythmic pattern. Even a tiny fragment can become a strong riser if the rhythm is right. And that's the first teacher tip here. Think in layers of motion, not one giant sweep. A convincing DNB build often has three kinds of movement happening together. One rhythmic layer, one tonal layer, and one space layer. If all three are blasting at full intensity at the same time, the build feels flat. So let one layer lead, and let the others support it. Let's start with the rhythmic layer. Put your source on an audio track or keep it in Simpler, then shape a short phrase across 1 to 4 bars. A good pattern is sparse at the start and denser toward the end. Maybe the first bar has a few hits, the second bar fills in more, and the final half bar gets a little more urgent with a quick repeat or a stutter. That makes the riser feel like it's accelerating with a tune. Next, add auto filter. This is the main engine of the movement. In most cases, a band pass or low pass filter works best for a glue riser. If your source is drum-based, start the cutoff lower, maybe around 180 to 400 Hz. If it's noisier or more tonal, you can start higher, around 500 Hz to 2K Hz. Then automate that cutoff upward over the phrase. Keep the resonance controlned, maybe somewhere in the 10 to 35% area, and add just a bit of drive if you want extra bite. The reason this works so well in DNB is because you're creating forward motion without crowding the sub range. You're increasing pressure, not stealing the drop's punch. And that's the key concept for this whole lesson. Protect the low-end lane with intention. If your source can handle it, add pitch movement too. In Simpler, automate transposition. On an audio clip, use clip envelopes. You can do a subtle climb of +3 to +7 semitones for a darker, grittier rise, or push toward +12 if you want a more dramatic build. But for jungle and rollers, less is often more. A small pitch climb can feel nasty and effective without turning the build into a shiny trance-style riser. A nice trick is to avoid a perfectly smooth climb. Instead, place small automation changes at musical accents. For example, let the first bars stay stable, then bump the pitch slightly in the last bar, and maybe add one more push in the final half bar. Tiny automation points like accents make the build feel human and urgent, not like a demo preset. Now let's bring in space. Add echo or reverb, but use them like glue, not like wash. A short or medium reverb, maybe around 1.2 to 3.5 seconds, can work well if you high pass the reverb return around 200 to 500 Hz. For echo, try a 1/8 or 1/4 note delay with moderate feedback, and filter it so it stays out of the sub lane. The goal is for the effect to grow as the phrase moves forward, so the early bars are subtle and the final bars feel bigger and more airborne. If your source is a break fragment, a little echo can make it feel like the break is being dragged into the next section. That's the glue effect right there. It's not just atmosphere, it's continuity. Now let's thicken it up. Put saturator after the filter, or before it depending on the tone you want. A little drive, maybe 2 to 8 dB, can give the riser density and presence. If the sound gets too sharp, drum bus is another good choice. Keep the boom off or minimal, and use only enough drive and transient shaping to add body without turning the riser into a new bass line. If you want some extra grime, a touch of redux can work, but keep it subtle. The goal is grit, not digital chaos. A lot of newer producers make the mistake of building the riser with the same energy from start to finish. Don't do that. Make the final bar different from the first three. Add more rhythmic density, a sharper filter move, a quick stutter, or a stronger send into effects. The last bar should feel like the riser is making a final decision to go somewhere. Now we're going to automate the arrangement, not just the sound design. That's where this really starts to feel pro. As the riser comes up, slightly reduce the main bass or thin out some of the supporting layers. Maybe your drum bus opens up. Maybe the bass line drops to ghost notes. Maybe the snare gets a fill or a roll. The idea is to create room. A great riser doesn't just add energy. It also removes energy from the current section so the drop has somewhere to land. This is especially important in drum and bass because the kick and sub lane are sacred. If your riser has any low content at all, high pass it. Be aggressive if needed. Use EQ8 and cut the low end so it stays out of the sub range. If you need to narrow it too, do that. Keep the build disciplined. A club-safe riser supports the system instead of fighting it. You can also use sidechain-style movement to make the riser feel locked to the track. Put a compressor or glue compressor on the riser and sidechain it from the kick or snare bus. Keep it subtle. We're not trying to make obvious EDM pumping here. We're just giving the riser a little breathing motion so it feels embedded in the drum engine. Stereo width is another detail that matters a lot. You can use utility to keep the riser narrower at the start and wider at the end. Start around 70 to 90% width if the source is safe for that, then open it up closer to full width in the final bars. But remember, anything with low end should stay mono or close to it. If you're not sure, filter the lows out first, then widen the top. A really important practical tip: check the transition at low volume. If your riser still reads when the monitor level is down, it probably has good phrasing and shape. If it disappears unless it's loud, it may be relying too much on brightness instead of arrangement. A strong riser should make sense even quietly. Now for the handoff. The riser should not keep going after the drop starts. Its job is to transfer energy cleanly. You can mute it right on the downbeat, cut the reverb tail, let a small tail spill into the drop, or even leave a tiny pre-drop gap. That little moment of silence or near silence can make the sub and kick re-enter with way more weight. In jungle and darker DNB, even a tiny pause before the first impact can make the whole thing feel enormous. If you want an extra bit of drama, try a reverse crash, a reversed bass stab, or a short pickup before the drop. But keep it tasteful. The riser is the setup, not the climax. The drop needs to feel like the release of pressure you've been building. A very effective advanced variation is the two-stage riser. Build the first two bars from a break fragment, then the next two bars from a filtered bass stab or Reese texture. The second stage should feel like the first one gets pulled forward. That kind of progression works incredibly well in darker drum and bass, because it keeps the motion musical instead of generic. Another strong variation is the ghost drum ladder. Duplicate a snare ghost or rim shot and bring each copy in at a different rhythm density, like quarter notes, then eighth notes, then 16ths. It creates pressure through rhythm alone, which is very jungle-friendly. You can also try a bend riser hybrid, where you automate tiny pitch bends instead of one smooth climb. Those little dips and nudges make the motion feel more alive and more organic. That's especially cool if you want the transition to feel gritty rather than polished. And here's a workflow tip that saves a lot of time. Resample early once the idea works. Print the riser to audio. That gives you way more freedom to trim the tail, reverse pieces, insert tiny gaps and line it up exactly how you want. Once it's audio, you can shape the handoff with much more precision. So let's recap the core method. Start with rhythmic DNB material, not random noise. Shape the motion with filter automation, add controlled pitch movement, use delay and reverb for glue, keep the low end out of the way, and arrange the whole thing so it supports the drop instead of competing with it. Make the first part subtle. Make the last bar more active and finish with a clean handoff. If you want to practice this quickly, build a 4-bar riser in Ableton Live 12 from a break fragment, snare ghost, or bass stab. Run it through auto filter, saturator, and a little echo. High pass it, make one version more rhythmic and another more atmospheric. Then place both before the same drop and listen to which one preserves the low-end impact better. Bounce the winner to audio and trim it so the drop hits clean. That's the move. Glue risers aren't about showing off the biggest effect chain. They're about pressure, discipline, and groove. Get that balance right, and your drops will hit with way more floor-shaking force.